Thanks for staying with WGN Radio throughout your day and for joining me, Jisoo Kyi, here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Appreciate you and also the chance to talk to CNBC star, founder of Market Rebellion Nigerian Family Office, John Nigerian. Hi, John.
Hello. Great to be back with you. Thank you.
Fantastic to have you on the show. We heard both of our Steves, Bertrand and Alexander, talk about T-Mobile and Sprint. So fill us in.
Well, a lot of us didn't think the deal would get done because the government could step in and block them at the last minute. And that's why you saw such a dramatic jump, 70-some-odd percent jump out of Sprint once this deal was formally approved. So that was huge volume today. And I think it created some optimism that deals that people didn't think had a chance may indeed have a chance. And that's why some other speculative stocks have seen some good money flows as well.
So this is good news in terms of deals. It sounds like there still needs to be a few more approvals, but it looks like it could close as early as April 1st?
Yeah, exactly. And this one's been, you know, out there forever. Number one, rumors of it. And then number two, the actual announcement. But then the stock had fallen dramatically from $6 or $7 a share all the way down beneath $5. And a lot of the firms that have a mandate to not own stocks that trade below $5 were basically forced to dump out of it. But today is a different story, and those stocks are doing well. And so is, by the way, Dish Network, which is buying some of the overlap between Sprint and T-Mobile.
And this is going to be for their 5G cellular network that's supposed to be outstanding.
Exactly right. That is exactly right.
Another stock that was on your list, as well as mentioned by Steve Alexander, was Under Armour. What's going on with Under Armour?
Well, they've had a lot of problems, Under Armour has, for quite a while. And revenue numbers going forward are just not in the projection phase, are not expected to impress, certainly shy of Wall Street estimates. And you've got the additional, the 1-2 punch really, is that they're going to have to spend a lot of money on marketing. And the fact that they're spending so much on marketing is going to further crimp profits at that company. And so this one's been in trouble for a while, and it looks like it's back on the bad boy seat right now.
Continuing with the bad news, weaker than expected year-end results also for Goodyear.
Yes, Goodyear, they sold, you know, most of us are looking at companies where we see growth. I know that's what you talk about. Those are the stocks that are generally going up. Well, Goodyear says they sold 2% less tires last year. And, of course, that crimps their profitability, because they still have to operate all these factories and so forth. Now they're having to not so much shutter, but decrease the amount of time they're spending in those factories. So just no good news, really, for GT, and the shares were down hard on that news.
Okay, let's turn this around, John. You always have good news when it comes to your stock tip of the day.
Well, we really like Microsoft again. This is one that, if you looked at it a decade ago, this was a $20 stock. And a lot of people just said, well, but it's yesterday's news. Then they really focused in on a new CEO, Satya Nadella. He did a great job. He's made it a reoccurring revenue story. In other words, subscriptions, where we all have to continue to buy Microsoft products as far as the Word and their enterprise stuff, as well as LinkedIn. So that one is our stock today, and we've been buying it for the last several days.
And you said another stock to look for is Freeport, which is a mining company.
Yeah, well, and that's because China enacted what they call a force majeure. And my French isn't as good as it once was. But
like, please explain
force
that.
Force majeure, well, basically they're saying an act of God. In other words, they can't fulfill a contract that they're obligated to fulfill because of something far beyond their control, an act of God. And that would be, of course, the coronavirus. And that's why What's bad for China in terms of mining and smelting is good for Freeport, and that's why we're seeing such a pop out of Freeport today.
And you also mentioned Roku and semiconductor company AMKR.
Yeah, Amkor AMKR, that one is doing exceedingly well. The CEO was very bullish. He said that demand for their testing equipment, for semiconductor equipment, was extremely strong. They beat Wall Street estimates in a big way, guided higher, and that's why that stock's doing so well. As far as Roku, you know, I guess a lot of us, when we see things like, well, the Academy Awards or the Super Bowl, a lot of people use those devices like TiVo to record those, and an awful lot of other people use Amazon TV, Google, as well as, of course, Roku to record these things, and Roku is right back in there competing hard and doing well, and so that stock moving higher as well.
Well, our market and stocks guru, John Nigerian, you can find info on him at marketrebellion.com. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Wintrust Business Lunch, G here. Thanks for staying with WGN Radio. You know what? Valentine's Day is approaching quickly. Also, you've been hearing a lot about the coronavirus and where there's an opportunity to be scammed. There will be scammers trying to scam you. And joining us is Steve Burnitz, president and CEO of Better Business Bureau, serving Chicago and Northern Illinois. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon. How are you?
So glad that you're in studio with us
today. I like
today.
Being in studio, seeing the great view you have.
Well, let's talk about coronavirus. Everyone is afraid about what's going on. It's a global epidemic.
It's a global epidemic.
And you're telling me, to make matters worse, there's actually bad people out there trying to scam folks.
It never ends. It's been like this since the dawn of time. There's always somebody trying to take advantage of the situation. So the Better Business Bureau issued a warning yesterday, along with the Federal Trade Commission issued a warning that there's people out there trying to separate you from your money and scaring you on this thing, especially when it's scaring you. It's a global epidemic, as you said. They will be more inclined to scare you to try to separate you from your money, and it's working, unfortunately. There's so many sites that are popping up, and there's so many emails they want you to click on. You don't know where you're going with these emails. And there's spam, there's malware, there's fake mask. I'm just waiting for the mask for pets. It's going to be coming up soon.
And to put things into perspective, from all of our health officials, we've been told that this is really not something that we need to be afraid of here in Illinois.
Exactly. That's what they said. Again, those are the experts that really do it. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, that's the website you should go to really understand this virus and what it can do and how to be safe. But more importantly is this: the people trying to take advantage of the situation. They try to instill, you know, fear in you to make you click on that link. You know, you want to know, hear about this cure we're doing? Click this link here, and all of a sudden the link then obviously has spam and malware on it.
So it comes in the form of an email, right, saying that you need this or click on this to make sure that you're safe.
Exactly.
Just don't click on it.
Don't click on anything that really comes in that really you haven't heard in mainstream media. If there's a cure, we would hear about it first, of course, on WGN. But again, there's so many ways they're just trying to make sure you click that button or click that link. And be careful if it's coming from your friends, too, because a lot of times pages are hijacked. So a lot of times you get a Facebook message and it's a video sent from your friend.
Yes.
Well, this is happening now with this. So they're actually hijacking your friend. They're taking all their account, his or her information. They're sending out like it's coming from them. Click this video. Click this link about great news on the coronavirus. So.
And how they get you is there's a heightened sense of urgency or fear. Or there's a sense of familiarity, especially if it's like your friend that's emailing you. So your guard's not up. You're like, oh, this came from my friend.
Right.
So I'm going to click on it.
Yeah, 99% of the time doesn't come from your friends on those types of scams. So make sure that if you do get never click an attachment unless you call your friend and ask, did you send me a video? Did you send me a link? And talk to them in person, not on the emails. But again, most of these 9 out of 10 times are scams. They just want you to click on this link and you think it's a trusted friend that you can count on. It's not. They have nothing to do with it.
Were you surprised that scam artists were trying to benefit off of coronavirus?
I'm surprised it took this long, to be honest with you. You know, I didn't want to, you know, say
oh,
too soon.
Oh, your jaded heart, Steve.
Yeah, but I've been doing this for 32 years,
I know,
G. And
I know.
What happens is that they take advantage of people and that people lose their money over something like and they call us, the Better Business Bureau, after. Call us first. Let us know about the scam so we can prevent this from happening to somebody. So many times they call, and that's probably my biggest frustration in my career is when going to call after when they've been mm-hmm. given their credit card information or they bought something and then they realize they've been duped. Call us first. We can let you know ahead of time.
Speaking of hearts, Valentine's Day is this Friday, and there are romance scams.
Yes.
I know this firsthand, not because I fell for one, right. but because I know them. Of somebody right. that did, and she was a widower,
right.
and she was lonely. And somebody started talking to her from California, and he was in the Navy,
right.
and she stopped when she was asked for money.
Exactly.
Because he needed money to help his kid who was in school or something like that.
Right.
But they had been talking over online for a long time.
It's amazing that the stories I hear over the years, especially these men and women who actually fall in love mm-hmm. with an unknown person. It's unbelievable. They never met him. They never seen him. They never really outside talked to him outside of this computer email, but they fell in love with them. They're their soulmate. You don't know if somebody's your soulmate by just typing or emailing to them. These scam artists will tell you anything you want to hear. They're rich. They got everything. They're very successful. They're in the army normally. And the key to the tip-off to the rip-off is that they want money from you in some way. So they'll try to get you off the website. They'll try to steer you off of a website that you're on, maybe one of those well-known sites. And they want to have that one-on-one relationship with you. They'll send you pictures of this person or a video. But if you do a reverse search on the picture, you'll see that picture is used in thousands of websites. The same guy or the same women who are strikingly, you know, gorgeous like you, G.
Exactly. Thanks. Consider that my Valentine. Thank you, Steve.
But again, these are people that are used all the time, and it's like, this person looks so good looking. Mm-hmm. It's the same person that's on thousands of websites.
And that's not the person that you're communicating with.
Not at all.
And this happens online. Are there any particular dating sites that this happens more often on?
No, it happens on all these particular sites. No dating site is safe because they can't control everything. They'll try, but there's no site that will be 100% safe. So especially if they want to get you off that site, that is the tip off, the rip off. So if you're on a well-known site and this person, man or woman, says, you know, let's talk on the side. Give me your email address. They want you off of that site. So there's no protection and control. And the key, never give any money out. That's the tip off, the rip off, but meet them in person or have a live chat with this person.
And make sure to tell a friend where you're
going. Exactly. But don't fall in love with somebody you have not met. And that's where we see it. In 2018, the Better Business Bureau issued a major study. This is a global problem. This is not just a local problem. It's happening all over. Widows, they're all losing money out of these sites. And it's regular people, too. It's not just that. But it tends to be a lot of the elderly who are trying to look for that second love in life. Mm-hmm. And they want to find it.
Now, my friend was also in her late 60s, but I was surprised. It says that in your release that the number one demographic of victims are millennials.
Right. They're more on the computer. That's what basically happens. So they actually surpass the elderly on all types of scams, including this one, because they're more so online. They don't do the research. The millennials, the younger generation like us, we thought we knew everything, and they tend not to check out these offers. And unfortunately, that's what's happening, is they're finding these victims all over social media, major websites. They're getting fake profiles. I mean, I've taken down several of my fake profiles using my likeness.
Right.
So just because you get an email from that person or a friend request doesn't mean it's that person. There's millions of websites that are taken down on a monthly basis that are fraudulent.
Talking with President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau, serving Chicago and Northern Illinois, Steve Burness. Number one thing also to never do besides not send money is do not send any type of intimate photos.
Exactly.
Because you say these photos are then used to blackmail.
Right. They'll send you a picture back. They'll use a video and they'll send it back. Look, I'm going to tell all your friends what you just sent me, your nude picture. So it's called the X-rated blackmail. And it works because people get scared. They see the picture. And some have actually came to us and they said they performed an act on a video. So if somebody asks you to use your camera and take a video picture yourself or video yourself, don't do it, please, because it can end up in the wrong hands. It's not that woman on the other line. It's a man who's going to try to take advantage of you or things of that nature, unless you meet them or know them in some way. It's too good to be true.
And we've got to remind folks of that. This happens across the spectrum. I mean, it's men and women that
right,
are both getting scammed.
Right. A little bit more ages. Women, but again, it's the same. It's almost the 50-50 split. All ages,
right?
But millennials mostly, and it's again.
I think, the reason why this works, the scam works, is because love in general takes a leap of faith.
Right,
so there's a lot of, you don't use just your logic when you're falling in love.
Right.
And so then that's why it's sort of easier to fall for these scams.
Right. And they find you soulmates. So people think they found their soulmates, and that's what they want to believe, that they fell in love. This woman that we talked to last year, she fell in love with this guy and over emails only, never met him, never talked to him on the phone. It was all through emails, and she lost over $10,000 to this guy.
Wow.
And then we took his picture. I did a complete Google reverse search, and I showed her. It was on about 1,000 websites, this guy's picture. They use the same picture as this great-looking guy, and they people think, oh, he's so cute. He's so great. He's so cute. It's my opportunity. And unfortunately, it's a scammer.
And Steve, what do we do if you have been a victim of a romance scam?
Well, I was to contact the Better Business Bureau and the authorities as well. But we need to know about this information ahead of time to prevent this from happening to others. And we also have a scam tracker, as you know, G, where we keep track of these scams. So a lot of people look at a scam and say, I'll never fall for it. But somebody will. Go to a scam tracker, report it, so we can prevent this from happening to somebody else. But please, men and women, do not send money to somebody you have not met or wired money, no matter what they say. Cancer, they have cancer. They need to go take their mother to the doctor. Whatever it is, that is the Better Business Bureau calls the tip-off to the rip-off.
Tip-off to the rip-off. Do you have a cape on? Because you are a superhero.
I'm a superhero, but I never rest, though.
And the website is BBB.org.
Right. Before you buy or hire, BBB it.
Thanks so much to Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. Winter's Business Lunch. G here, joined now by Mary Wisniewski, transportation reporter and getting around columnist for the Chicago Tribune. How are you, Mary?
Hi, I'm great, G. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks so much for joining us. Boy, do you make transportation and even construction projects fun because of the way you report on them.
Well, thank you. I really enjoy it.
You really do a great job. We just saw an article that you wrote for the Tribune. The CTA is going to spend $38 million studying a red line extension.
Right. What this is they're preparing an environmental impact statement that's going to address all the concerns there might be around the project, how many homes they have to tear up, what it's going to do to the area. And they need to do this in order to get hundreds of millions of dollars in federal money, which is what they're going to need to do this project. The entire project they expect will be $2.3 billion. And it'll run the red line from where it is now, 95th Street, down more than 5 miles to 130th Street.
And Mary, why is this extension such an important undertaking?
Oh, well, this area of the city is an area that activists call a transit desert, the far south side. It's difficult to get around there. You have to take multiple buses. You might have to take a couple of buses just to get up to 95th Street and the Red Line, and it makes it more difficult for people to get to work. It also impacts people who are on the nearby surrounding suburb in Riverdale.
So you said the entire project, if it were approved, would be around $2.3 billion. It's
right.
$38.3 for a study. Is that a lot of money?
It's an expected amount of money for what they're doing, because this also includes some initial planning and engineering, preliminary engineering services. What the CTA says, they need to get this done in order to get federal money. They've already committed $310 million of the agency's own capital money to help get that local match. And they're saying that this is going to be a major step towards building this, and this is something that's been discussed for decades. One of the issues here, of course, is that getting federal money could be difficult. Current administration has not made transit a big priority. So there's some concern about, you know, whether we can get federal money. But there has been federal money in other transit projects, and also the city is able to have the authority to establish the tax increment financing districts to fund transit projects, and so that kind of money could be used for this project.
How long will it take to accomplish and build?
Well, once they get all this done, which could be the planning and the getting the money and the preliminary engineering, it could take 4 years from the time they get shovels in the ground to actually having it done. So it's going to be a while before people start seeing the L down at 130th Street.
Since you know so much about transportation and construction and infrastructure, looking into your crystal ball, do you think that this is going to happen?
I think that it might happen. Yeah, because the CTA has been putting, you know, they've been talking about it for years, but this time they're putting the money into it. They're putting the planning into it. They've already figured out a route, and if they can get the money, I think it will happen. And it's been a long time since the city has extended that line. It's not been since the Orange Line opened way back in 1993. And this is the only place where the L goes all the way up, you know, north, you know, into the northern suburbs. Mm-hmm. It goes all the way into the western suburbs. It goes all the way to O'Hare. This is the only place where the L doesn't go.
And there's
it goes
a lot of,
to the far south side.
Yeah, and can you update us on all the other construction projects that are going on right now? I know there's the red-purple line modernization, and then there's renovations happening to different stations as well.
Right. Well, what's going on? The red-purple line modernization is a big one. That's a $2.1 billion project. And right now what they're doing is they're building these enormous holes in Lakeview so that they can lower these caissons down to make foundations to have a flyover to take brown line trains over red and purple line tracks. And that's supposed to save a lot of time. There's also station work being done at Grand, at Chicago, and Division. They're expecting to have that done by April. Those are three stations on the blue line that were first built in the 1950s, and if you're familiar with them, I call them the Transit Noir stations because they're so gross
they
down
really
there.
Are, yes. And what about work on the Metra? How's that going?
Metra right now is working on a bridge project up on the north side, and they are replacing bridges, 11 different bridges along the north side, along the Union Pacific tracks. And so you're going to see road closures periodically as they go through. There was recently one at Wilson. They're going to continue to have those kind of, so people have to watch out for detours when they are along those UP tracks.
So, Mary, with all the great big construction projects happening right now, like on the Jane Byrne Interchange and the Central Tri-State, which construction project do you hear the most complaints about?
Definitely the Jane Byrne, because it's taken so long. It started in 2013. It was supposed to end in 2018, but it's going to keep going until 2022. There have been a lot of cost overruns. It's up to close to $800 million for that project. The initial estimate had been $535 million. It's a pain to drive through. And it's been going on for a very long. People who do not have their driver's licenses now will not... we'll eventually be driving on a repair Jane Byrne.
So that is the biggest thorn in drivers' sides when it comes to construction.
I would
projects.
Say definitely. And what I recommend for people is please be patient. Please, you know, bring a book on tape or something. You know, watch out for guys working because you don't want to hit anybody. And you know, if you can, take an alternate mean of transportation. Take public transit, take 294. Of course, now there's construction on 294, too, so maybe transit is the answer if you can.
I know that you know a lot about congestion and traffic as well. What is your number one pet peeve, that infraction that drivers make?
Oh, I just wrote about this. It's blocking the box. That means when people drive into an intersection with the green light, but there's no room for them to go into the street on the other side, and they end up stuck in the intersection blocking traffic coming from the other way. It's such a selfish thing to do, and it really causes tremendous congestion problems throughout the loop, and it really causes a problem for pedestrians because often what happens is those cars are stuck in the crosswalk and people can't get around them.
And the way to not do that is sort of gauge when the light is going to potentially turn, you know, yellow to red.
Well, also look ahead of you. And if there's no place for your car to go, don't go. And don't worry about the people honking behind you. They're wrong. You know, just, you know, stay where you are until you can clear the intersection safely.
Mary, it's nerve-wracking because they're always honking.
All right, yeah. So, you know, do you know what that means? Is that they have a horn. It doesn't mean that they're right.
You know what? The next time that happens to me, I'll just yell out the window, Mary Wisniewski told me not to block the box.
Right. Be careful. Just be cool and, you know, wait for your turn and know that you're in the right and they're in the wrong.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Mary Wisniewski, transportation reporter and getting around columnist, and also award-winning novelist as well. So thanks so much. You can read her articles on Chicago Tribune. Thanks so much
for having me. Okay, bye-bye.
A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. This is the Wintrust to Business Lunch, joined now by WGN Radio's very own Amy Guth to talk about some trending business stories. Hi, Amy.
Hello. How's it going today?
Fantastic.
Okay, well, it's anytime there's a story about pets, I want to talk about it.
Me too.
I love animals. And there is, so Uber Pet is launching in Chicago, and that starts today, and it allows you to bring one small creature companion on your ride. There is a surcharge. It is a $6 surcharge for, and of course, if there's any cleanup required after you and your pet have been in the car, you know, some dogs get a little car sick. It's a thing that happens, you know.
Well, it's so funny because I don't have a car, and I am a pet owner. I have a cat, so when I've needed to take her to the vet, of course she's in her cat carrier, so that makes it a lot easier. So if you can, if you have a smaller animal,
a little
pet
easier.
You can put them in the carrier, so then you don't have to worry about them climbing around and all that stuff or getting sick. But I would just text the Uber driver
and say, hey, I have a cat.
Yes.
Are you cool?
Are you okay with this? Right. Are you okay with this? And I'll be sure to tip you extra because I know that normally you don't have pets. So I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah. I used to have a pet and I same situation. I had to take him to the vet. He was really sick and I just needed to get him there quickly. And, you know, the Uber driver pulls up and he was like, I hate cats.
I'm
like,
oh, well, no.
I was like, but he's really sick. Can I? No. So I had to get another Uber and it was a thing. And I'm like, well, I get it, but. Can you just, so this is going to help that. So pet owners that are trying to get their pets to the vet, to places, you know, and visiting people.
And I see it. I've just pulled up my Uber app. I see that there is, there's the economy rides. There's the premium rides, which I never partake
in use that.
Ever because it's like, whoa,
that's for another lifetime.
And then there's a category called more. And that also includes Uber Pet Espanol Select, which I guess is premium rides and high end cards, but not quite black. And then also wheelchair accessible vehicles.
Yeah, which is another important thing.
Cool.
So on that note, though, it should be noted that riders with service animals are not required to use Uber Pet.
Aha.
That's not going to incur that surcharge. That's not considered like carting your pet around.
Right.
In a,
this is a working animal.
Way. This is a, this is a working animal. So that's that pet will not, like a service animal is not going to incur that charge.
Well, fantastic for all the pet lovers out there. Of course, we know Chicago is a big dog city. So when you need to get your dog around town.
It is. And,
love it.
You know, when dogs are in the car, they're so cute with their little, they stick their head out and they're so excited living their best lives with their ears flopping. It's adorable.
I wish if I could just be as happy as a dog with its its head stuck out the window. That would be amazing. That's what we need to channel.
Did you see the dog that was in here yesterday? His name was Jake. He was so cute from one tail at a time.
I didn't get to say. I saw him on WGN Instagram, but not not in person.
Well, he, you know, recognizing that this is a professional workplace environment, he did wear a tie, which
very
is very
nice.
Sweet, a little Valentine
Love
tie.
It.
He loved Jasmine. He loved her. There was such a cute picture.
I loved him too.
He was real cute. He was sweet.
This is the first time we've heard from our EP, Jasmine, about the dog.
The dog matters.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right.
Okay, so we heard John Williams talk about it during his show earlier. This whole there's a bill that someone's proposed about. You can't pump your own gas?
Well, so a state lawmaker has introduced a bill that would ban pumping your own gas starting next year. Such laws do exist in other states. New Jersey has one, and it's really all about fire safety. That's kind of the idea because there's like static from your cell phone, or people will light a cigarette while they're pumping gas, although I don't know why you would do that. People leave the car running, things like that. So it's all about, it's like a safety measure. Although this, in the case of this specific bill, she did not say exactly why she is doing so, but this is sponsored by Camille Lilly from Oak Park. And so she has, it's the first reading. I don't know. We'll see. I'm like kind of flummoxed by the whole thing because I'm like, what? Really? Really?
I think John was as well. And I think everybody that was texting and kind of calling in was as well, too. It's fascinating. I was trying to remember if I'd ever had an attendant, and I don't think I ever did, but I do remember growing up as a kid. I grew up in a very small town in North Carolina, and there was a very genteel Southern lady that I would occasionally hang out with who would bake breads and had a rose garden, and sometimes I'd hang out with her when my mom needed me out of her hair. And I remember she went to this one tiny gas station, and there was an attendant there that pumped the gas for you. And yeah, so
gee,
that's the only time that I can remember.
I need some follow-up.
I know. It was just the weirdest memory because I thought, well, have I ever even seen a gas attendant? And I thought, yeah, I remember when I was like 5 or 6 years old, I was riding with her, and we would go on lunches, or she would babysit me, I guess. And that basically meant I get to hang out with this really refined Southern lady, and she would never pump her own gas. And she went to this gasoline station, and this guy would pump the gas.
Okay, so maybe that's what's on. That's what's up for grabs here. I don't know.
I know this was a random thought. But
I was kind of looking at Twitter because I always like to get the pulse of things when it's just kind of a wah kind of story, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at some tweets, and some people were kind of going like, "Well, I mean, it doesn't sound too bad in the winter that you wouldn't have to get out of your car."
Oh, yes, that sounds incredible.
But of course, we have some of the highest gas in the country, pretty consistently, almost always.
Right.
In
so they were talking about it affecting gas.
That's
prices,
right. It would get passed on to the consumer, and
small
so.
Gas. Gas stations out of business, yeah.
Yeah, so
I
there's
a
lot of
where I put the gas in whatever the
and
nozzle.
Get back in the car.
Yes, yeah. I put the nozzle in the tank and then just who knows what happens.
You put the little
that.
Thing on the handle so it'll keep going and then you just get back in the car and
I
you
have
stay warm.
At times occasionally the gas had spilled outside of the tank, but that's a whole other story.
It's supposed to clip right off and go away.
From gas to
let's talk
liquor.
Bars. Let's talk about liquor. Okay, so speaking of, you know, laws that are, you know, being debated and being discussed, in Harvey, the new mayor basically was, you know, kind of ran on the idea of like, I'm here to clean things up. And so one thing he did was he changed the time at which a bar could be open. Things had to be, any business revolving around alcohol had to be closed down by midnight. But now there's a lot of consternation around this move because it's like, hey, look, I'm my tavern or whatever is I'm losing revenue. That's when I, you know, people are spending some money doing some stuff. There was a, you know, a bathroom attendant who was interviewed by WGN TV and she was like, look, I make my money. I make some tips. People start coming in there and, you know, into the ladies room, you hand them the paper towel, you do the things like there was. So there's, it's really kind of about like job creation. So there's a big conversation happening and people are getting frustrated because there was a meeting set to happen in the afternoon recently that when people showed up for it, it was canceled saying, okay, this kind of meeting can't happen during business hours. It has to be happening after hours because it's not convenient for most residents. There's just a lot of drama happening in Harvey all around how late you can drink.
Okay. And then tell me again how the bathroom attendant fits into this.
Well, it was like, it's about jobs, right? So there's WGN TV was talking to people that are connected to that, to the service industry.
Right.
They're,
so it cuts into their hours of
right. And it's not
and
just
tips.
People who own establishments. Mm-hmm. It's like servers and attendants and, you know, all kind of people that are dependent on the service industry. Now think about it. Like think of what happens in a bar after midnight. It starts getting a little crowded.
Right.
People are going out. People are maybe spending a little more money. They're doing the shots and doing the drinking and all that kind of stuff.
And is the new mayor basing this new ordinance possibly on safety issues of safety?
I mean, that's kind of the idea, right? Like he really, it was all about, I'm coming in to clean up Harvey. That's what I'm kind of
got
coming
it.
To. So
okay.
We shall see how that one shakes out.
I always feel very bad if I'm in a bathroom with a bathroom attendant and I don't have money to tip.
I know.
It feels very awkward for me. And then I think, why don't I have cash? Because I never have cash. And then
I know I'm a debit card person too. But also I'll usually just like run in there. I don't like bring my bag with me.
I just say, no, thank you. I don't need a paper towel. I'll just dry them off on my hands because I don't have a dollar to tip you.
I know. And then, well, a friend of mine is like very, especially this time of year, like cold and flu season. She's like, I don't want another person. I'm not saying that person is carrying the flu. I just, let's minimize the amount of people touching a given paper towel.
Oh, wow. The phone line's lighting up, but we can't take any calls because we're out of time. Amy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks
for
much.
The trending business news. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.